And he says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of your life. So whether you say, my life is falling apart, or I'm on the mountaintop, I want you to know God's still in control. Maybe we should say it this way. God is still in charge. He's still in charge. He's in charge of the details of your life. And it's the quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. And I hope that you see we did not get this together. But they kept talking about choice, choice, choice. In the worst time of your life, determined to praise Him. And when you do that, you will feel the exuberance of the joy of God. Doesn't mean that you're going to giggle and laugh. We don't giggle and laugh through funerals, right? But even in funerals, we can have joy. I remember preaching Brother Bud's funeral. That was a joy because of a life lived well. You know, when you know someone is in the presence of God, there's a sadness with you. You know, I'm not going to see you for a while. But when you think about what they're experiencing, and our faith runs deep, you say, take care of my loved one, Jesus. I'll see him in a little bit, right? And that brings joy. They're not in the grave, folks. They're not in the grave. They're in heaven waiting for you. I want to tell you just a little bit of background, because I think it's real important that we know background. The church at Colossae, Paul didn't start. Paul had actually never even been to this church. But one of his disciples had started this church. It was Epaphras, I believe. I can't read my notes. My eyes are so blurry. But it was Epaphras that started this. But Epaphras began to have some problems in the church, and false teaching was coming into the church. So he contacts Paul and he said, can you help me address this false doctrine that's coming into the church? And that's why Paul wrote this letter. But the false doctrine was this. Now listen to this, because we still deal with this. Jesus was not fully God, but he was fully man. That's the false doctrine. Jesus was not fully God, but he was fully man. And because of that, he lacked the authority and the ability to meet their needs. Well, I got news for you. Jesus is fully God. And he is fully man. And to deny either fact, you miss it. See, if you say that he is God, but he wasn't totally man, you don't understand that he experienced everything you experienced. Don't deny Jesus the fact that he suffered just like any one of us. Jesus had the thoughts that came through his mind, same thoughts you do. But he overcame, right? You got to see him as fully man. I mean, you've worked for bosses before that started at the top and stayed at the top. They're miserable bosses, right? They went to school, they get out of school, and they're your boss, and they know nothing. You've got to teach them their job, right? They're awful bosses because they're not compassionate to what these guys are doing. The best bosses in the world is one that started at the bottom and came right up. They know everybody's job in the plant. They've done everybody's job in the plant. And they understand the difficulties of your job. That's Jesus. Yeah. Jesus knows what it's like to every circumstance. He's been there. He's done that. So he is fully man. But he is fully God. He is fully powerful enough that he can take care of every problem that you have. Paul says, I need to pray for you as a church. And he prayed this. He prayed that the knowledge of the will and spiritual wisdom. Proverbs 4:7. I'm going to try to go a little faster today. And I know some of you think, thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Paul prays for them to have knowledge of his will with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing in all you're getting. The NIV says, though it cost you all. I got news for you. Wisdom is going to cost you. It's going to, earthly wisdom costs you. You go to school, you endeavor to better yourself. That's great. Great. Earthly wisdom is good. Sometimes we learn because of what? Experience. Experience is the hardest teacher there is. If a wise man says, I don't have to experience it, I'll learn from your experience, right? I don't have to go through all the trouble. I don't want to go through a divorce to be able to understand divorced people, right? I can learn from others. I don't want to go through cancer so I can relate to those that are fighting cancer, right? Experience is a hard teacher. I want to learn from the Spirit of God. He's gentle. Stay with me. So he says, though it cost you all, get it. Get understanding. Now, wisdom and understanding is different. Wisdom would tell you how to treat your wife. Understanding is know whether you know how to even get in the house. Do I go home today? You know, I understand her moods. I understand that there's something going on. It's not wisdom, it's understanding. I've lived with her a long time, so I can understand I need to be gentle tonight. Wisdom is, or understanding would be saying, going home and just looking my wife in the eyes and knowing, tonight we need to go out to eat. Right? Because I can see the stress of the day on her. Or it would say, hey, why don't you sit down and let me cook dinner? That's the understanding that you can have to your wife. Well, we need understanding in this life. Not only do we need wisdom, but we need understanding. Understanding knows how to apply the wisdom. That's good preaching, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. It's one of the parables. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field, which a man found, and for joy he goes over and sells all that he has and he buys the field. He recognized that there's something buried in that field that's precious. He said, that's going to cost me a lot, but I'm going to choose to purchase it. Wisdom is going to cost you. I promise you, it's going to cost you. There's a difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 17 says, the wisdom is from above, is pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. There's been times when the Holy Spirit will just drop a word in your heart. You may be thinking about something totally different, and the Holy Spirit just drops something in your heart. And this is the way I like to say it. I just know that I know that I know that I should do this. Where's that coming from? Heavenly wisdom. I'm not mechanical at all. But sometimes the Lord has dropped things in my heart to allow me to fix my car, to allow me to do something that I don't have the ability to do. Then he says, I want you to have knowledge, not just knowledge, but knowledge of his will. Knowledge of the will of God for your life, specifically for your life. In Psalms 37, 23 and 24 says, the steps of a righteous man or steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Listen to this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. I believe that's a word for someone today. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. You need to understand the will of God in your life, that God chooses for you to be successful. God chooses for you to overcome your difficulty, but he also chooses to allow you to go through difficulty. What's that all about? Because that's where you really grow. And he says, though he be utterly cast down, he's not cast out. The Lord is going to help you back up. With God we overcome. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4, he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You are not an accident in the family of God. Do you realize before you were born, he knew about you? And he chose you. Now, there's some people that will take this verse and they'll say, oh, there are some that are predestined to be saved and there's some that's predestined not to. We do not believe that. Because the Bible says, for whosoever will. He says, God called all men into repentance. We believe that God has predestined us through the plan of salvation, that God predestined all people to be saved. So what's it all about? The choice is yours. What will you choose? That's sometimes why we say God may not be in control, but He's always in charge. He may not be in control because you may be. How often have you taken control of your life? Come on, that's good preaching. That ain't me. That's from the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I can't say God's in control because I took over. I took the reins. I started making the decisions. But I can always say He's in charge because He is always in charge. And when I say, okay, Jesus, not my will, but Your will, that's a good prayer. And you would think that you only pray that at salvation. That's not true. If you've ever had difficulty forgiving somebody, you may have to say, God, not my will, but Your will. Yeah. Humble me. Do a work in my heart. Help me, God. Give me the help that I need to overcome this. And then spiritual understanding. He lists that word, that God, that You would give them spiritual understanding. And I thought, what is that all about? I think spiritual understanding is seeing your situation, seeing your life from God's perspective. You see, when you're in the heat of a battle, everything tends to close in on you. And all you can see is you. All you can see is your failure and your difficulties and things that are not going right. You know, I say this often. Satan takes a picture of you on the worst day of your life. When you really have blown it, when everything is going wrong, he gets that little Polaroid. Remember those instant pictures? Come out and there it was. So Satan takes a picture of you on the worst day of your life. And then every time you try to climb out of the hole, he throws that picture back up. Hey, not going to get any better than that. And I got news for you. Jesus knows another picture. He sees from a different perspective. He sees the victory that's on the other side of this bad day. When you're hurting, He sees victory. So spiritual understanding is seeing life in the difficulties of life, seeing it from God's perspective, that He's in charge. He's leading me through this. He says that I want you to live a life worthy and please Him in every way. And I wrote, that's a radical commitment on your part, on my part, that I would live a life. Think about this, that I would live a life that's worthy to please Him in every way, not just on Sundays. Every day of my life, I want to please Him. And I'm willing, I'm saying, I'm making the choice that I believe this is the missing link in the body of Christ. I believe that the failure of the church is not with God, it's with man. I'm about to preach myself happy. I'm telling you, that's good preaching. I'm saying stuff that I know it ain't on my paper. That is straight from heaven. That's good. It is good. I'm in awe too. I'm sitting here, where's this coming from? This is good. He says, bear fruit in every good work. Ephesians 2:10 says, you're Christ's workmanship. Do you know what that word means? Masterpiece. Oh, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see junk. We see failure. We see ugliness. We see disappointment. But He doesn't see that. When He looks at you, He does not see disappointment. He sees success. You see, He had a plan. You are the highest work that God ever done. You're it. You're His opus. You're His workman. You're His piece of art. Live worthy of that. How do you live worthy of that? Phew. And He says, you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Some people think, so the church is not about good works. Read Ephesians 2:10. We are the church. The church is made up of us. The church is not a building, it's people. And Ephesians says, we're God's workmanship created to do something good in earth. I think that's good. Which God prepared beforehand. God had your life mapped out. Man, he said, this is going to be glorious. Vaynell, I got something great for you. Now what happens? Here's the path of God. Oh, it's right there. I can see it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Something got my attention. And as you know, that's why we had to black the windows out to keep me on track. That's Satan's desire. Satan's number one desire is to get you off the path of God. Let's wise up. He says, growing in the knowledge of God. The only way I got to know this gal is by spending lots of time with her. I told my class today, I thought I knew her when I married her. Little did I know, I didn't even know her. I mean, I got to know her. I told them, in the Old Testament, when a man would marry his wife, he got a year off. A year away from everything. He could dedicate himself to knowing his wife in a year. He would study her. They'd get to know each other. And the way people date today, they don't really know each other because they ain't being truthful with nobody. They're putting this facade up. And then all of a sudden you get them behind closed doors and you're like, woo, sing baby sing. No, it's an old joke, sorry. Well, the way you're going to get to know God is by studying him. You're going to have to talk. You know, I took a communication class in my sophomore year in high school. And this man, he drove this point. Every day he talked about this. Communication is not just talking. It's listening. Communication is always two ways. You got to communicate with the Lord if you're going to get to know him. And he said, being strengthened with all power. And then he says, there's two qualities basically you're going to need. You're going to need endurance and patience. Endurance. We're not in a sprint. We're long distance runners. It's a long race ahead of you. Pace yourself. Get ready for the endurance that you're going to. And we have need of patience. I think it's important to say God doesn't want you sick. God doesn't want you anemic as Christians. God wants you healthy. Christians, spiritually I'm speaking at this point. I believe that physically also. But spiritually, God wants you to be a healthy person. God wants great things to happen to you. They invited Winston Churchill to come and speak to a graduating class one day. And so, I mean, Winston Churchill speaking at your college graduation. He's sitting over there. They call him to the stands. He gets up and he gets to the podium and he says, never, never, never give up. And he went and sat down. Five words that he spoke to a graduating class that probably changed their life. If I could infuse something in you today, it would be never give up. You see, I think Satan, he can't read your mind, and let's not give him any more than what he has. He doesn't know, but he reads us. And I think he reads the times, and he is sensitive to what's happening. I think he knows when the breakthrough is about to happen for you. And he pours it on right before breakthrough. Why? Because if he can get you to give up, you'll never see breakthrough. You'll not experience the success that God had planned for you because you laid the cards down. Not time to give up. Then he says, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, being mindful and confident that God is working for our good. I've talked a lot in the last few weeks about giving thanks. Here it says joyfully giving thanks. Sometimes it may have to be a sacrifice, but I really believe that our thanksgiving ought to come out of a joyful heart. And I believe we need to do better on this. I've been trying to remind myself, try to be more thankful for the things that God has done. But at the end of this, you got to ask yourself, why should I? Why should I do all this? Why should I be joyful? And he answers that. He says, we have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. I wrote, we have been qualified by the blood of Jesus, not to share in the inheritance of the saints. Right now, it may not look real victorious for you, but I got news for you. There's a day coming when it's going to get better. There's a promise of God that He's working all things for our good. 2 Corinthians 3:6 said this, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I put that in there. That's written to ministers. Oh, do I have some ministers in the house? Do I have any ministers in the house? Every hand ought to be raised. That same college class that I was in, all my life, I've tried to take opportunities to tell people about Jesus. So in that speech class, we had to give a speech on how to do something. And I gave a speech on how to get saved. And I went through the Roman roads and taught this class, the Roman roads of Jesus. I kid you not, about 10 years later, I'm trying to buy a car at Dwayne Taylor's. And this salesman comes up to me and we begin to talk and he said, I know you. And I said, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever met you. He said, I know you. He said, you're a preacher. I said, no, I'm just a Christian. Could there be more wrong in any words that I've ever spoke? You're not just a Christian. You're a minister. You hear me? Every one of you, you're a minister. That man turned out that he was in my communication class and he remembered a speech that I gave about the Roman roads of Jesus. Think about this. God's word does not return void. I didn't remember him. He remembered me. Why? Because I spoke the word of God to him. Isn't that a great story? I love that story. That encourages me so much. He said, who also made us sufficient as ministers of this new covenant. Hebrews says we have a better covenant than the Old Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Let's reach way down in us and let the Spirit of God begin to pull life out of death. Oh, again, man, you're not getting it, but that's good stuff. You see, there in every one of our hearts, there's some things that are dead. And only Jesus can resurrect them. Jesus can resurrect the dead things in your life. Ooh, that's good stuff. Our inheritance is so much better. Every Christian knows part of our inheritance is heaven. Yes, it is. But it's so much more. It's protection. It's healing. It's a sound mind. It's acceptance. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. That's our inheritance. Our inheritance is the money that you need. God supplies all your need. God brings everything you need into your life, and that's your inheritance in Him. He says that we're part of the kingdom of light. This is the part that really got me excited. Jesus rescued us from the dominion of darkness. I think that's marvelous. You see, I think that some of us still have some of that darkness around us. And you need to realize He delivered you from that. Let me get right down into your face. What are you still walking in the darkness for? You've been delivered. Do you realize the devil doesn't make you sin? You do. You choose to sin. You don't have to sin. He's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Now this is what I want you to get. It's not just for you. I think that God wants us to create a new culture on earth. I think that Bridge of Hope has been called into being to start a new culture in Paris, Tennessee. And it's a culture of righteousness. Like my brother spoke from Romans, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not eating and drinking. God wants us to create a new culture. He's brought you out of darkness so that you can walk in the light of God. So every step you take, light goes with you. So when you're at work, the kingdom of light has come into your work. Now, go with me for just a second. This may be why you have your job. It may not be about the income. It may not be, you may not even like your job, but maybe your job needed somebody with a little light to come into it. It might be why you're in an organization that you're in. It might be why we exercise. Why do we exercise? It's not to get rid of that, obviously. But it, maybe it's about the people that we're around, that we're walking in. It's like I was reading this book, and Bill Johnson, and he was talking about a greenhouse, that he saw these marvelous greenhouses. Where do they raise the tulips? Holland. He said he went to Holland in the middle of wintertime, and they took him into this greenhouse and raising beautiful. They produce like 95% of the tulips for the entire world. Comes right there. And he said, this greenhouse allowed them to do something that they couldn't do outside. Are you getting this? Are you following me? I want you to understand, when you come into the kingdom of God, it's like God created a greenhouse over you. You're walking in a different culture. And things are going to happen and grow in your greenhouse that can't happen outside of it. So let's expand our greenhouse, right? Let's expand the kingdom of God. I think that's just, this got me excited, I'm telling you. It was so good. And we do that by worship, by prayer, by speaking the word of God. Quit giving your opinion. Quit giving your opinion. Start speaking the word of God. Someone asked me this week, we was at a prayer meeting, someone asked me about how we're going to reach millennials. And I put my intellectual hat on and I began to tell them, well, I think we need to do. And then I had to close in prayer. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, you need to repent. He said, who asked you what you think? And I had to start that prayer with, God, I spoke like an expert when I know nothing other than you. How are we going to reach the millennials? Only you know, Jesus. That's right. Give us the plan. Romans chapter 6, verse 7 through 14 says, for he has died and been freed from sin. Now he who has died has been freed from sin. Any dead people in here? I'm going to ask it again. Any dead people in here? Dead to self? Amen. Catch on. A little thick today. Any dead people in here? Praise the Lord. We're all dead to sin, right? So we're freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, and this is why they think Paul was a Southern, Reckon yourself to be dead. Only a southerner would say that. Had to be from South Galilee. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That's such good stuff. You see, the church is putting up with a lot of nonsense. And we're calling it grace. If anybody understands grace is not an allowance to do your own thing. Grace is the enablement to live above sin and beyond sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law. You're under grace. Why should I be joyful? Because sin doesn't have dominion over me. Because I've got a great inheritance. Because I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And now I serve the King of light. That's good. Jesus brought us into the kingdom of the Son, where our life can flourish. I begin to think, at Christmas time, Treve and I always try to help somebody. And sometimes, man, I've been just convicted a lot. Sometimes I get judgmental. Sorry, I do. And I think, well, their problems is their problems because the way they've been thinking, the decisions they make. And then I realize that's what this is all about. See, as I get to know Him, He changes my thoughts. See, when you get saved, this does not change. God saves your spirit. The soul is still this way. But it's renewed by the washing of the Word. It's renewed because Jesus helps us renew it. So it doesn't change. You're made a new creature in Christ the day you get saved. This comes along a little slower. Therefore, you make bad decisions. It takes Him, that helmet of salvation. It takes having that mind renewed so that you begin to think the thoughts of God so you make better decisions. Why are we in the place that we're in today? You're the sum total of the decisions that you have made in your life.
That's right.
Nobody did it to you. You did it to you. We don't like that kind of preaching. We like to think the devil did it, or it's because I was raised on this side of the track or that side of the track. No. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy.
That's right.
But I got news for you. He wants to change this so that you make better decisions, so that you make victorious decisions. Again, I go back to looking at that guy in the mirror. See, if you keep seeing that failure in the mirror, you're going to keep making the decisions that lead up to failure. It's not until your inner image of the who you are changes that you begin to make better decisions. You need to see yourself as a success, victorious, intelligent. Let's quit talking about... Have you ever met somebody that's really, really pretty and they can't get over the fact that their nose is just a little crooked? I just want to slap them. I'm like, look at this! You're complaining about your nose? You get my point? What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the one thing that's wrong? Are you focusing on the thousand of things that are so right? Are you focusing, and it all comes back to, am I giving thanks? If you're focusing on the things that God has done for you, thanks will flow out of you like a river. But if you're focusing on your failure, you're going to have a hard time with thanksgiving. And you'll have a hard time with joy. You won't even like messages about joy. because you don't understand it. Change your focus. Understand this. God has delivered you from the kingdom of darkness. You know what that means? God has delivered you out of Satan's claw. You are victorious. Let's live like it. Amen. Would you stand with me? That last verse said that we have redemption. When I think about redemption, it says the forgiveness of sin. I think about being purchased back. Being purchased out of the sin camp. The Greek word used for redemption. Do I have it on screen? Yes. You can pronounce it. Apollosis or something like that. It refers to a person's release from some kind of bondage after a payment has been made. The payment has been made so you can go free. Let's cash in that ticket, right? Let's walk in that redemption. Now, I feel like the Lord gave me something specific today. And He said, pray for miracles. Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I want us to pray and believe God for miracles today. And if you're believing God for a miracle, would you raise your hand? Now, I don't want you to close your eyes. I want you to open your eyes and everybody keep your hand up. Look. Look around. Probably 2/3 of this congregation is believing for a miracle. Let's call them in. Amen. Let's call them in. I believe we're supposed to pray for salvation. If there's anyone here that would say, I do not know Jesus, maybe you were brought up in church, but you have not been serving Jesus Christ. Let's have a do-over. Can we have a do-over? Can we say, Jesus, I have blown it. I've gone my own way. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I choose to follow you. Folks, if you pray that prayer, that is salvation. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. The word believe is just not agreeing mentally. The word agree means I agree mentally and I will follow. I will live it. I'll do what you say to do. If you're here today and you need Jesus in your heart, just ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to come in anew. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you believe. You believe that He is here for you right now. Hallelujah. The last thing the Lord spoke to me, He said, pray for those that need to cultivate the atmosphere of godliness. There's some of you that love Jesus, but your home is a hell house. It's confusion. There's fighting. It's just a hell house. And that ain't God's will. You need to cultivate an atmosphere of godliness. You know what that means? I watched my wife do this many years. When I would say something sharp, she would speak lovely. She would speak gentle words. She got this long before I did. Cultivating it. You ever work with somebody that they're just hard to work with? Man, they're just in a foul mood all the time. We need to cultivate an attitude and an atmosphere of godliness. You don't have to respond to ugliness. You don't have to respond. You can be loving when other people are ugly. I believe that was straight from heaven to pray those specific things. We prayed for the salvation. We're going to pray and believe for the miracles. I haven't had you raise your hand, but I believe there's many that need to cultivate this atmosphere of godliness. Can we pray together? Father God, I love you. Lord, I have a long way to go, but I sure do recognize the good hand and gracious hand of God upon me. Lord, you have been so good to me. You have changed me in so many ways. I'm so glad these folks didn't know me a long time ago. God, I just believe, Lord, there's lots of us that need to cultivate this atmosphere of godliness around us. We need to make the choice to not speak sometimes. And when we do speak, not to speak our own philosophy or our own thinking, but to speak the Word of God. God, help us to release your presence into the atmosphere in which we're dwelling. Let us speak peace when there's turmoil, when there's chaos. Let us speak words of peace and life and joy into a situation. God, let us be friends to those that are in total chaos. Let us show them the way. God, I pray that you would create a greenhouse, God, over Bridge of Hope, that we would grow things in this house that are not being grown anywhere else, God, but that we would grow godliness and righteousness, peace and joy and the Holy Ghost in this house that we can send all over the world, God, through our prayer. We send things out through our words. We send out the Word of God and the power of God. God, I pray, Lord, for those that are believing you for miracles. Come on, let's join our faith. We have not because we ask not. Now, Jesus, we're asking. We ask that you release, Lord, our faith to believe for miracles, for lives to change. I know that there are people believing, Lord, for their circumstances to change, for their health to change, for their marriage to change, for their job to change. God, I believe that you're in charge of all of it. God, we release these things to you and we ask, believing, Lord, that you're a good God, that you love us, and you'll move heaven and earth if you have to bring our answer. God, you sent the angel, Lord, to bring a prayer, Lord, to Daniel, and he had to fight the prince of Persia to get that answer to him, but he brought the answer, God. You're faithful. You watch over your words are performing. Well, tonight or today, we stand upon the Word of God. You said, ask and you will receive. You said that nothing is impossible with God. The doctor may have said it's impossible, but it's not impossible with you. I believe Jesus. I believe in you, God. Have your way, Jesus. Work the miraculous in this place. Jesus, I thank you. Oh, that our inheritance is wonderful. God, you have brought us out of a dark kingdom into the kingdom of light. And now we are that light. I thank you, Jesus. Have your way in these people. God, we pray for this production tonight, that your spirit and your fingerprints would be all over it. God, that you would minister. I pray that when people get out of their car, they know that they've come into the greenhouse. There's a different atmosphere on this property. Jesus, we love you. I thank you, Lord, that you do have the power to change any situation. And my joy is knowing that you're in charge. You're in charge. And you love me. Bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come?